If you were here last week, you know that we started this journey on spiritual warfare together. And we're talking about knowing the enemy. And you might say, why is that necessary? Let me tell you something. I continue to read and look at statistics and stories and read books and all kinds of things in preparation for this. But let me tell you something I've read just this week again. One of the greatest lies that humanity is swallowing today is there is no devil. That is a lie that many people are swallowing. Ah, Jim, you got to be kidding me. That's just in some old book. Oh, that's just in fairy tales. That's just a myth. That's just some way back. One of the greatest lies of today's culture and society is there is no devil. That's why we're talking about we have an enemy. And you know that last week I mentioned to you that sometimes this enemy makes his way into our homes and into our lives. We talked a little bit about that. We'll revisit some of that this morning. So it's important that we recognize we have an enemy. People in general have an enemy of our soul. The devil hates them all because we are made in the image of God. The non-believer, he hates them and he'll drag them right onto hell with him, anybody that'll go. And the believer, he hates them because they have trusted in Christ as Lord. We have an enemy and he's real. And so it's high time that we, the church, are very aware of this. I read a great book just this last week. It was... Anybody heard the name and read the books of Nikki Cruz? Dan, Marie, that's all? You haven't heard of Nikki Cruz? I'd suggest you look it up and get a couple of his books. You heard Sam Anderson here on Teen Challenge the other day. He referred to Nikki Cruz. He was one of the first converts of David Wilkerson in New York City in late 1950s. He was a drug addict. He was a warlord. He was a gangbanger. And he has traveled the last 50 years all over the globe proclaiming the goodness of God because he was redeemed. That's Nikki Cruz. And he's written a lot of books. The first one you might want to read is Run, Baby, Run. That's his first book. Or David Wilkerson wrote about him, The Cross and the Switchblade. But I just got in my hands last week a book from Nikki, one of his newer books, almost brand new. It's entitled The Devil Has No Mother. And I was given that book this last week, and I read it. And some fascinating things there, but Nikki said in there, he visits churches all over America, and he puts on seminars all over the world, and he said, it's high time the church wake up to the fact we have an enemy. On February 5th, 2009, Nikki Cruz was sitting in Guatemala City. He had just done a massive crusade the night before in Guatemala City. Hundreds came to Christ. He was sitting on the next day, basking in the beauty of Central America, sitting with some friends, praising God for the goodness, and they got a call from Colorado Springs where he stays and some of his family live. They come to him and said, Nikki, you better call Puerto Rico, because that's where he had another brother. His name was Frank. Frank was a pastor. First of all, he was a gangbanger in New York City with Nikki. And then he come to know Christ. And then he had a church in New York City. Then he went back to his native homeland of Puerto Rico. And he was a pastor there. And so Nikki, as they were basking in the goodness of God the next day, because hundreds come to Christ the night before, he calls Puerto Rico and he talks to Tato, his brother's boy. And he said, Dad's been murdered. I told you last week, sometimes the adversary will strike when there is great victory. And he will. And he only moves about and does what God allows. But we have an enemy, brothers and sisters, and it's time we are very aware of some of his trickery. Remember the word last week in Ephesians 6, the wiles of the devil. It's high time we in the church become aware of his trickery and how he's slithering into our homes and into our marriages and into our children's lives and all over our society, into our government, into our schools, and every place else, and into the church house. It's high time the church be aware we have an enemy. An enemy of our soul. I read to you last week 1 Peter 5 and 8 that said, Peter's words, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Peter is talking to Christians. And Jesus said it this way in John 10 and 10. The thief has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I said to you last week, that is his agenda. To kill, steal, and destroy. And it's time we are aware of that. 2 Corinthians, I read to you last week, 11, 14, and 15. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. He'll come around masquerading into something you don't expect. He'll move entire denominations or entire churches or entire movements because he's transformed himself into an angel of light. And he'll move us or them or people off the centrality of Jesus if we give him half a chance. Let me tell you this in answer to some questions that came up since last week. The evil one, he's not omnipresent. Okay, you with me? There is one alone that is omnipresent. God Almighty, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit is omnipresent. The evil one is not omnipresent. Sometimes we give him all kind of credit. Well, he messed with us, and he messed with us, and he messed with a million others all at the same time. The evil one is not omnipresent. Sometimes we give him way too much credit about that. But he does have a whole lot in his army. Let me also tell you, in response to a question this week, the evil one is not omniscient. He doesn't know what you're going to do tomorrow or what you're thinking. God alone is omniscient. But the evil one will respond to what we do, and the evil one will tempt us and challenge us, but he's not omnipresent. I think sometimes we give him way too much credit. Did you hear last Monday morning on KTIG radio? 63 Christians in Nigeria whacked to death at the hands of religious rebels. Did you hear that? Christian radio last Monday morning. It was on. And as those religious rebels hacked to death women and children, they were crying out, Allah Akbar, which in their religion means our God is greatest. Let me just remind us, brothers and sisters, when this type of religious movement claimed to be doing God a favor by whacking to death women and children, they're not following Jesus. You still with me? They are following a spirit, to be true. It is not the spirit of the living God. They are following the God of this age. That's what the Bible calls the devil. Please let me say again, like I said last week, I'm not here in this sermon series to glamorize the devil, but to enlighten the church to the wiles and the trickery of the devil. Let me just remind us a couple of things. First of all, the father of all lies, that's another title that he's got in the New Testament, is leading billions astray. The father of all lies, the adversary, and his demons are leading billions astray. You say, yeah, but Jim, you think you know everything? No, I don't know everything, but I know what's in the Word of God. And if we're not following the Holy Spirit of God, we're following the Antichrist, he wants us to look at him as a trinity of holiness that's leading people away. And if we're not following the Holy Spirit of God, we're following the God of this age, and that is the adversary. And so I just want us to be reminded that if a religion is saying, we are God's followers, we are God's people, and they recognize Jesus as a prophet only, they're being led by the father of lies. If we are in a religion that said Jesus is not God himself, but a small g God, We are being led by the father of lies. If we are in a religion that says Jesus is the brother of a devil and in time you can be like God, we are following the father of lies. Are you still with me, brothers and sisters? There's billions being led astray by the father of lies. And sometimes he'll even throw in the name of Jesus as a prophet, as a small g god, devil's brother, whatever. He's leading billions astray. It's time that we recognize we have a very real enemy. And let me just say this to brothers and sisters. If we are following a religion or a denomination or a movement that has left Jesus and the blood of Jesus on the cross at Calvary out of the salvation equation, we are not following the Creator God, but the father of lies. We cannot leave Jesus out of the equation. And so, I'm not here to try to glamorize the adversary, but I am here to try to make us very aware. I'm also not saying, trying to get you to look under every bush and every corner for the boogeyman or the demonic, but I am suggesting that we have been opening up our homes and our lives to the adversary, even in the church house. I told you last week I've been to way too many places to say otherwise. Let me revisit very quickly from last week so we can get onto some new scripture. How does the enemy get into our homes? Idols, I mentioned that to you last week. Idols of other religions and their statutes are idols. He will use those to his advantage. Pornography, I mentioned that last week. I gave you a story. Let me give you another one. Did anybody hear Janet Parshall on Monday? She was talking to a woman that fell into pornography at the age of 10. This is of the evil one. And when we're dabbling in pornography thinking it's not hurting anybody, I'm just having a little bit of a whatever. This is from the evil one. If you got to listen to this young lady, she's not a girl anymore. She's not a little girl anymore. She got trapped at 10. And it led her down this dark path. And it took her years to get out of it. I didn't get to listen to the whole story, but I heard some of the tragic consequences and I heard some of the tragic statistics that she talked about. Here's one of them. 25% of the women in churches are into pornography. You say, Jim, that's preposterous. I didn't make that up. This is the lady that studies this. This is the lady that was there. And lest we men think, oh, them nasty women. We're three times as bad in the church houses. And you think the adversary isn't clever and coming at us below the radar? He will use this kind of stuff to trap pastors and all the way into the brand newest believer. Pornography is of the devil. If you've got it, friends, it's time to burn it and never go there again. And if you need help, get an accountability partner today. It's not too early. It will ruin your relationship with your spouse. And if you're not married, it'll ruin the relationship you're going to have. I mentioned that last week, so I won't go any further on that. I mentioned drugs. I mentioned hard rock music and rap and all the ugliness that's associated with the words that are in those songs. And friends, I heard again this week, let me just say this. If we need to get our fix from hard rock music, it's time to sign off. I could tell you a story about a pastor's daughter. I mentioned that last week, but time just never allows. But a pastor's daughter, she was feeling the influence of the demonic. And she felt like during the night she was screaming out. Arms were coming up on top of her bed. And she's crying out to her dad and mom. He's a pastor. He's a man of God. He's a teacher of spiritual warfare. And they come in here and she's telling them the experience that she's having. And he simply says to her, what's under your bed that you think something's coming out under bed? They pull out some boxes. What is it? Some rock music that some of her friends had given to her. Hard stuff, nasty stuff, vile stuff. And the demonic was trying to oppress this pastor's daughter because of it. There are danger signs everywhere. It's time we know we have an enemy. Oh, and I talked a little bit about the mystique and the magical, like the Ouija boards and Dungeons and Dragons and horoscopes. Let me just tell you this, friends. We like to look into the mystical and the magical. God doesn't use horoscopes to tell us about our future. He uses this. And so when we're getting ourselves all wrapped up in the mystical and the magical, we're following the wrong spirit. Let me just say this. A lot of this stuff has come to me this week, and so I just feel it's important, and I haven't even got to today's message yet, but I just feel it's important to speak about what has come to me just this week. I mentioned to you last week, Native American dream catchers and sage burning. Somebody sat down with me on Monday, and he said, Jim, let me tell you a little story. I got some kids, and my son, he's been having a whole lot of bad dreams. And I've really not been in church that much, and I really don't know a whole lot about these things, but I've been told that they catch and filter out the bad dreams. So I'm at a truck stop one day, and I just thought, you know what, my little boy's having bad dreams. I got to do something about that. Let me tell you something before I go any further, friends. If that's happening in your home, the advice is go to the Master. Go to Jesus. I'm going to close today's service. I don't know when that be. It could be an hour or so. I got a lot of stuff again. With James 4, 7, and 8. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But when we keep inviting him in, he ain't going to flee. And so here's what that young man said. He said, I bought the dream catcher home for my son. Because I didn't know nothing about it. I didn't know except for what it's advertised. And I hung it up over my son's bed. And he said, lo and behold, Jim, the nasty dreams, the horrible dreams, they stopped. And I wanted to shout out, hello. That is because the adversary has some powers too. And he wants you to subscribe in his magical potions. Are we going to put our faith in these things? Are we going to put our faith in the living God? That's what I'm talking about. Yes, it worked for him. It's just like some of our Ouija boards that you've told me about. Sometimes they work for us because that's what the adversary wants them to do. He wants to hook you in the mystical and the magical. He wants you to start veering off into the supernatural. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, we serve a supernatural God. And when we give him a chance, he does supernatural things. And he doesn't want us venturing off on this spiritual tangent where the adversary is leading us. And so, let me just throw in one more thing. Or maybe two, before we get into what I was going to share with you today. I read something this week about books. I didn't mention books last week. But I read something this week about books. The adversary is trying to use books to destroy the minds of our children. You still with me? You're not sleeping yet on me, are you? How many have heard of Harry Potter? The adversary is trying to use the mystical and the magical to move our children's minds away from Jesus onto some other supernatural. How many have heard of the books, The Amber Spyglass or The Golden Compass? They're children's books. Seemingly innocent enough. Were they in the school, Karen? Were they in the school library? The author of these books, there's a trilogy, The Amber Spyglass, The Golden Compass, and another one, I didn't get that name. They're a trilogy written by Philip Pullman. He's an atheist. They're children's books. And his goal, he has stated this, is simply to destroy God in the minds of our children. Friends, we have an enemy. It's time we're aware of it. We have an enemy that is real. Anybody been to the United States Air Force Academy in the last 3-4 years? In the last 3-4 years? In 2010, that's a beautiful place. Sitting just this side of the Rocky Mountains, right beside Colorado Springs. It's a beautiful place. And incorporated in now to the United States Air Force grounds is this double circle of rocks. You know what it's for? The Wiccans and the Druids to worship at. Out of the Air Force. You can read all about it. I'm not trying to pull your leg. I'm telling you, we have an enemy. And worse yet, Lieutenant General that runs the joint, I forgot his name, when someone decided to erect a cross in these two circles of rocks, just to make a statement, you know what? Jesus is real, and maybe we ought to get right with him. So someone put up a cross. The Lieutenant General of the Air Force Academy at that time said, "This is a hate crime." Someone put up a cross. It's a hate crime. We won't tolerate hate crimes. We have an enemy. That's why I said last week we're losing the battle in America, because the enemy is slipping in unawares all over and in every occupation of America. And it's time, as Nikki Cruz said, the church start to take some of the territory for the kingdom of God back. It's time that the church start to say no to this adversary and get this adversary out of our lives, out of our homes, out of our churches, out of everything else, and start letting the kingdom of God take some territory back. That's why I'm talking to you about this spiritual war that we are in. It is serious, and we're losing this battle. Yes, God has won the war. Jesus is victorious. Never forget, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, if you know Christ. But when you look at the landscape of culture, we're losing these battles to the adversary of our soul. And it's time the church is aware. I don't know where to pick it up and go. Our time is so close to over already. Let me say this for today. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's victory in the name of Jesus. That's why we're going to close with that song again. Jesus. The enemy has to flee. And so if you're struggling with these things, I mentioned a bunch of them last week, there's power and victory in the name of Jesus. Salek was telling me the other day when I took him back to the airport, oftentimes in their crusades, there would all of a sudden be people screaming bloody murder right in the smack dab in the middle of these crusades. Why? Because they're demon possessed and they're starting to get into the presence of the living God. And when demons get into the presence of the living God, things happen. We saw it all kinds of times in Scripture. We're going to look at a couple in a moment. But people would scream out in his crusades, bloody murder, just blood-curdling screams, several of them, because they're demon possessed and the Spirit of God is coming into their crusades, and the Spirit of God is moving in people's hearts, and the Spirit of God is filling the place, and all of a sudden there's this opposition. Why? Because they know who Jesus is. Sometimes I wonder if we do. Nikki Cruz was holding a crusade in London, and he's an evangelist, and he was just about to give the altar call, and he was standing up front, and he was looking out over hundreds, and all of a sudden, fine-dressed man, right in the middle, right smack in the middle of everything, as Nikki is inviting people to come to Christ, put your faith in Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, a fine-dressed man stands up in the middle and starts barking loudly and howling like a dog. The opposition knows who Jesus is. And Nikki simply said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, shut up and lay down." And he laid down, literally laid down and couldn't get up. People drug him to a side room and it took 2 hours to pray the demon out of him while they had their altar call. The adversary knows who Jesus is and tremble. Mark 5, 1 and 2, 6 and 7 says this. When they came to the other side of the sea, you know this story. I want to give you a couple of four examples that the demons know full well who Jesus is. When they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Verse 6. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. He cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." the adversary and his followers know who Jesus is and tremble. Luke 4:31-35. Then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, who was teaching them on the Sabbaths, and was teaching them on the Sabbaths. And when they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now in that synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone! What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." You see, brothers and sisters, they know good and well who Jesus is. They know good and well who Jesus is, and they know where they're bound for. The Bible goes on to say, Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him into their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. The evil spirits in Jesus' day took on a lot of forms. And sometimes we might get a little overboard thinking everybody with mental illness has got a demon possession. I think that's a little overboard. But sometimes we get the other side of the coin too by saying that this isn't possible anymore. And I think very well that some perhaps among us today that are suffering from some of these things are spiritually. We think about the demons of lust. And we think about the demons of greed and sex and death and fear and the unclean spirits that he's talked about here and spirits of infirmity. The Bible talks about these things. And just because the Bible was written 2,000 years ago doesn't mean it isn't still happening to some degree today, and we just poo-poo it and think, oh, that's whatever. We need to be aware, brothers and sisters, of the adversary. Luke 13:10-16, one more example. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Now listen close, friends. This is not just 2,000 years ago stuff. The adversary, the enemy of our soul, the father of all lies, the murderer from the beginning, is still among us. He still comes to the church house. That's why the dogs start barking in that evangelistic crusade. That's why Alex sees what he sees. Here was a spirit of infirmity in this woman for 18 years. And she was bent over and could not raise herself up, the Bible says. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And then this strange twist of events, something like that's happening in religion today, I think. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Oh, horror of horrors. He's healed on the Sabbath. And that's what this next argument was all about. And Jesus comes back to him and says, "Hypocrite. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for these 18 years?" Think of it. For 18 years, he said, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. She was bent over in her back. She had this spirit of infirmity because Satan had bound her. No, make no mistake about that. That's what Jesus said. And sometimes these same spirits are operating in and around us and amongst us today, and we're paying no attention to it. There's power in the name of Jesus. And so let me conclude with this. Then, praise team, we're going to sing that last song, please. I want us to sing that again because I want us to reiterate over and over and over, there's power and authority in the name of Jesus. Let me close with this, James 4:7-8. Therefore, submit to God. We got problems going on in our homes. We got problems going on in our lives. Let's take James's advice. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You say, "Jim, I don't think it's that easy because I've been trying to resist the devil and I still got trouble." Then draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. There may be things in our homes, there may be things in our lives that we have invited in. I've talked to you about a whole bunch of them for 2 weeks. Well, they got to go. They got to go. And we've got to start drawing near to God. We've got to start drawing near to God by getting in His Word, by getting in our knees in prayer. We've got to start drawing near to God so the devil starts resisting us and we can resist his nasty tricks and his temptations. And we got to draw near to God so God will draw near to us. Friends, that's where we've got to start. The closer we draw to our Heavenly Father, the more He's going to draw close to us. The more we submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more the devil will flee. And friends, if we still have an appetite, we like to go in these places, we better get serious with Jesus today. If we like to go in these spiritual places that we see, we got this little tingling going on, we got this little excitement going on, we better get right with Jesus today. Because the adversary will confuse you and blind you and carry you off so far, it's going to be a long ways back. Dan and Marie and Dale and Carla could tell you about colors on motorcycle jackets. Colors of the other side. How Dan and Marie and probably Dale and Carla have sometimes, in a matter of trying to cleanse these people, when they say, I want to be out of this, try to burn their jackets. They won't even burn. Dan can tell you about that. There is power in this garbage, brothers and sisters. And the farther we go down these paths that the devil is leading us, innocently enough, unbeknownst to us sometimes, the farther down that path we go, the farther it is going to be back. And so I'm simply suggesting we realize we have an enemy. And friends, the first and foremost, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, you don't have much of a defense system. You need to know Christ. You need to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ first. And if you've never done that while we're singing this song, let me pray with you. If you want to kneel at the altar and pray about anything, you go ahead. You need to know Jesus Christ, and then we need to get on the armor. Friends, next week we're going to talk about the blood of Jesus and the authority in Jesus. 2 weeks we're going to talk about putting on the armor. But if you're struggling with some things that you think are oppressive from the oppressor, take it to Jesus now. And if you need help with those things, let us know so we can help pray with you. There is power and victory in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you. You are victorious. Jesus is victorious. And in spite of the prince of the power of the air trying to oppress, discourage, confuse, kill, steal, and destroy, you are in control, Almighty God. You are our Savior, Jesus. You have defeated the enemy. And we praise you this morning, Almighty God. We praise you this morning, Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, the incarnate God, our Messiah. We praise you, Father, this morning for your Spirit who is here among us, who wants to lead us in paths of light, righteousness, who wants to draw us unto the Father through faith in the Son. We praise you for your Spirit, O God. May your Spirit be what radiates from our lives and our homes and our churches. And may the spirit of the Antichrist and the adversary have no authority and no foothold in any of our lives here, in any of our churches, and no longer even in our nation. Father God, we claim victory for you and your people. We claim victory for you in the churches in the name of Jesus. Father God, where we have invited oppression in, may we draw the line and say no more. May we seek your face today, Lord, asking you, is there something in my life, in my home, that's opened up the door to the adversary? Father, reveal that to us and help us draw the line and say, we're not going there no more, and be rid of it in our homes. Father God, lead us in paths of righteousness. Help us not to be dabbling in the mystical and the magical of the other side, but following hard after Jesus Christ our Lord, filled with the Holy Ghost. Go with us, Father, this day. Encourage us, strengthen us, equip us, help us to get on the armor. Father, if we haven't put on the helmet of salvation, we need to start right there. We need to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord today. Father, speak to us. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our churches. Help us to be right with you, walking with you, filled with your Spirit, not allowing anything from the adversary or the dark side. Glorify your name in your church, O God. We claim this church and this territory for the kingdom of God. We claim churches all over our communities for the kingdom of God. Father God, have your way. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.